This is More to the Point Audio with Russell Moore. Proclamation and conversation about the Kingdom of Christ. Would you remain standing and turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to start reading with verse 13 and read on down through verse 23. Colossians 1, verses 13 through 23. The Apostle Paul writes this as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. He, Jesus, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil things, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a servant. Let's pray. Holy Father, these words are the power of Christ. And so, Father, we pray that we would stand here this morning in the power of Christ with all of the things that we just sang about, with no guilt in life and no fear in death, recognizing that you command our destiny through Jesus Christ from our first breath until our final breath. And Father, you have called us here this morning by your Spirit. Whether believer or unbeliever, we are here for a reason. And Father, we pray that you would make that reason known and that your word would go forth with power. And we ask above all things that you lift up the name of our Lord Jesus and give him preeminence. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've been wanting peace and quiet. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many times I have said in my house in recent days, I'd like some peace and quiet. I found myself, as I was watching The Grinch with my kids, identifying with The Grinch at the beginning. Maria went on ahead of me, down to see some of her family, took the kids with her, and I've got peace and quiet, and I'm miserable. 2 days, that house has been still. There hasn't been one sound of footsteps bounding up and down those stairs. There hasn't been anybody fighting or arguing over Legos. Hasn't been any sound at all in the house except for me playing my Hank Williams records about being lonesome. And whining and complaining about how sad and lonely it is around the house. I've gotten the peace and I've gotten the quiet, but it's not what I wanted. You know, there is a way in which we talk about during the Christmas season peace. And we understand that the angels announced peace to all with whom God is well pleased. And we'll see all around us, even in the stores, those little Christmas signs of peace. But there is a way in which Christlessness is peaceful. One of the reasons why schools will have Christmas programs and they're having simply all of the songs that are about Frosty the Snowman and Santa Claus is coming to town and Grandma got run over by a reindeer and whatever else, is because they're trying to be peaceful. They don't want to offend people who don't believe in Jesus. And one of the reasons why Christians can be such jerks about that in this so-called war on Christmas and the way that we act in that way is for precisely the same reason. We don't understand what the Scripture means when the Scripture says, I do not judge those on the outside, I judge those who are on the inside, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And Christmas simply becomes another time for us to use Jesus as a mascot to argue with people we want to argue with. Both of those things are Christless, and both of those things can leave us peacefully the way we are. When the Scripture tells us about the coming of Jesus, you have a peace that comes with that, but before you get to the peace, there is a whole lot of disturbing of the peace. It was probably a peaceful, still night for those shepherds when the sky exploded and you hear angelic beings singing. That's not peaceful. Their peace was disrupted. And the Scripture says that when those wise men from the east came into the palace of Herod the king, saying, we have seen the star of the one who is to be king, that Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. His peaceful reign was now disrupted. There is a way in which you can live in Christlessness that will seem to be peaceful, because you can continue in the way that you've always been, and there's nothing there to disrupt you, there's nothing there to disturb you. But when the message of Christ is announced, there is a shaking of all that seems to be quiet and tranquil and peaceful in our lives. That's exactly the point that the Apostle Paul is making to the church here at Colossae when he's writing to this church that he didn't plant, but that he's very concerned about. Is it going to survive? It's a church that is in a very pagan culture. Why, the very name of the city is named after these massive temples worshiping these false gods all around them. And not only that, but apparently there's a lot of disturbance going on within the church. There are these false teachers who have come into the church and they're saying to everybody, if you want to be really, really spiritual, then you need to follow our program because we are so much holier than you are. We are so much more exalted than you are because we have seen visions of angels. And we've got the regimen that you can follow in order to make you holy. Just don't eat these things and do eat these things and observe these holidays and special days and don't observe these other things and follow us as we get this super spiritual kind of experience where we can explain to you what the gospel is really about. In the middle of all of that, this little body of believers gathered to read a letter by torchlight that turns them back to first principles about what it means to embrace a Christfulness that leads ultimately to peace, but disturbs it along the way. Notice, first of all, that the apostle here calls us to Christ as preeminent in creation. The apostle writes to this congregation and he says, you have come out of a war. You have been rescued and you have been brought out of the kingdom of darkness and you have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. And you in him have forgiveness of sins. And as he does so, he writes to them and he says, I want you to know and I want you to recognize and I want you to see that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Now, everybody in this congregation knew what an image was. They were all coming out of paganism and they had seen images all around them of other gods that many of them had worshipped and many of their families still continued to worship. Jesus is spoken of here by Paul as being himself the image. They understood and knew it doesn't matter how many times you build something and say to yourself, this is God. Jesus himself represents everything that it means to be God. And if you do not see Jesus, you do not see God. If you do not embrace Jesus, you do not embrace God. Everything that God has intended for humanity in imaging him is found in Jesus Christ. And that is difficult to see. As a matter of fact, many of the religious people who understood precisely that all those false images were wrong, that all those pagan statues out there of false gods, that those things were wrong. They were very, very scrupulous not to make an image and not to make a picture of God. When they encountered Jesus of Nazareth, the very image of God himself, they screamed, crucify him. He says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And he goes on to say, by him, by Jesus, were all things created. There were people in this congregation who were tempted to try to find some kind of spiritual experience, to get in touch with the spirits or to get in touch with the angels or to try to find some way to get power over the universe. And Paul says to them, you need to understand that the God who created the world around you, the God who created all the things that you can see and all the things that you cannot see, he did so through Jesus Christ. So if you are ignoring Jesus Christ, you are ignoring the one through whom everything was made. All things were created by him. And notice what he says, and all things were created for him. And he goes on to say, and what I mean by that is everything, whether you can see it or not see it, whether thrones or dominions or powers or authorities, he's using all of these angelic claims to dominion. And he's using all of those human claims to dominion. And he says, I'm not afraid of any of those things, and I'm not seeking after any of those things, because all of those things were created for Jesus Christ. Paul is writing this from a prison cell, probably shackled to the wall. And he says, I understand that the government power that put me here is not preeminent. I understand that the metal that is used to shackle me to the wall was created for Jesus Christ and created by Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he says, in him, all of these things hold together. They are all here because of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, if you're seeking some kind of a spiritual experience, whether that is like some of these people to see angels prancing around in front of God, or whether it is instead to try to find some peace with God apart from through the flesh and body and blood of Jesus Christ, then you have no access, you have no peace, you have no reconciliation, because God is himself showing Jesus to be preeminent in all of the creation. In him, he says, all of these things hold together. The blood is pulsing through your veins right now because Jesus is Lord. The air is coming in and out of your nostrils right now because Jesus is Lord. The chair is holding you up right now because Jesus is Lord. The molecules around you and within you are holding together because Jesus is Lord. He says there is nothing that is any rival to him in all of the creation, and all of these things around you that we consider to be so valuable and so important are all going to collapse in the face of his kingdom. He says you need to see that Jesus has first place over the world around you. But he goes on to say, not only that, he calls us then to the Christ who is preeminent in his church. Notice what he says in verse 18. After he's talked about the universe here, he says, and he is the head of the body, the church. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially when you've got a group of people who are in a very different situation than you and I are in. We're here in this huge place with a sign right out front that announces not only who we are, that we are a church of Jesus Christ, we also say to everybody, when we meet. We meet at these times. If you want to find us, we're right here. Why do we do that? Because we're not worried about it at all. This group of people, this was a group of ragtag believers who were ex-idolaters. They were the offscouring of the universe. It was a tiny little gathering of people sitting here listening by candlelight to the story of an executed Jew that the apostles say is now raised from the dead. He says Jesus is preeminent as head over his church. Now, why is that important? Because in order to understand Jesus, you have to understand his church. You cannot deal with Jesus simply as the baby lying in the manger. And you cannot deal with Jesus simply as the man who is standing in heaven. It is easy for us to do that because it is easy for us simply to imagine Jesus as being whatever it is we want him to be. Jesus, in my mind, just happens to agree with me on everything. But he says instead, he is joined to his church as a head to the body. Well, what does that mean? That means that the head and the body are absolutely inseparable. If you invite me over to your house for supper, my response is not going to be, may I bring my kidney? Can I bring my appendix? Do you mind if I bring my toenails? Now, if I bring any of those things apart from me and lay my kidney on your dining room table or my toenail clippings there, you're going to be disgusted, and so am I. But if I say to you, I've got my kidney inside of me, I've got my appendix inside of me, I've got my feet. Now, when you're inviting me, are you also inviting my feet? You're going to say, number one, seek help. Switch to decaf. But I'm inviting you. So I invite everything that it means to be you. The scripture says that is exactly what is going on with Jesus. He is the head. The church is his body. They are all together as one organic unity. And what happens if you cut the body off from the head? You have a dead body. If I cut off my foot and send it on ahead of me down to Mississippi for Christmas, I'm not halfway there or a fourth of the way there, in my case. I'm instead sending a dead piece. He says the head and body together in Christ means that Jesus gives life to his body, and the body is connected here to Jesus. So if you want to know how it is that you feel about Jesus and how it is that you love Jesus, then you ought to ask, how do I love his church? And not just the idea of the church, but the real live people who are in the church who can be annoying, who can be aggravating, who can be frustrating. He says he is the head over his church, and he is, he says, the firstborn from the dead. He says all of the promise that you have of life, and all of the promise that you have of being raised from the dead, it is only true because Jesus has gone on before you. He is the first one of this big wave of resurrections that God is going to give. He says, he is the one who gets the inheritance. He is the one who has come forward first of all. And so why? Why is it? Paul says, it is so that, verse 19, he might have the preeminence in everything. In everything. Literally, so that he can have first place in everything. First place in the universe and first place in the church. This is who Jesus is. And then notice finally, he calls us to the Christ who's preeminent in this redemption that we have. Look in verse 20. He says, in verse 19 actually, for in him all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. He says, you got all these people out there, they're hawking this special knowledge and this special information, and they still are. You can go to any bookstore and find anything you want about people spending half an hour in heaven or whatever. And they'll tell you about, oh, I did this and that in heaven. You've got people who will tell you how to have the secret Jesus diet or whatever. Is going to make you not only thin, but holy. You can find people who will sell you prayer cloths and everything else that you need. The answer to all of that is the preeminence of Jesus. He says, it is not finding all of these spiritual experiences. It is not following all of these regimens. It is seeing instead that the problem we have is a problem of sin, and the problem we have is that our peace with the Father and our peace with one another has been disrupted. But what has God done by sending this infant in Bethlehem and by maturing him to the point at which he offers up a sacrifice for our sins at the cross? He says, God is establishing peace. He says, it is through him to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven. How? Making peace through the blood of his cross. It is easy to have a peaceful Christmas with no recognition of sin. When the angels say, I am announcing to you good news, the good news is not just that this baby is with us. It's that those little veins that you could have seen on the little hand of that infant, those little blood vessels that you could see through the skin on the side of that infant, would in the fullness of time be ripped apart as wave after wave after wave after wave of the judgment, of the penalty, of sin, and of curse, and of death, and of hell is received by him for us. And only through that blood is everything then made right. Those of us who don't go through that bloody flesh, Jesus says, are left condemned and will be wiped away. But those who come in repentance and in faith, who hear the message of the gospel and hold to the message of the gospel, as he says, find peace. It's not the kind of peace that leaves you alone. That's the kind of peace we want. And that's the kind of peace that the scripture says we constantly want to go back to. I want to go back to the time when I'm not troubled by anything. I want to go back to the time when I could do whatever I wanted to. I want to go back to the time when I was in control of my money, and I was in control of my hormones, and I was in control of my schedule, and I was in control of my agenda. He says, no. When you come to Jesus through the blood of his cross, and when you are reconciled to God through that blood, when you have peace with God, you will find that Jesus is preeminent in your life. It's easy to sit around and to carry on about, we need to keep Christ in Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. Some of the most Christless people I know are able to say that. The issue is not your slogan, and the issue is not the button that you wear, And the issue is not what you put out on your house. The issue is, in your life, is God making Jesus preeminent? First place, by conforming your world around Jesus, conforming your love for the church around Jesus, conforming your sense of peace with God around Jesus. Do you find Jesus being exalted? Unbeliever in the room, I want to tell you, as we come to Christmas, how happy God is with Jesus Christ. The entire universe around you was created for Jesus Christ. By His Spirit, He's called this church together. Just a little bitty piece of the huge and massive body of believers all over the world that's part of an even larger body of believers now in the heavenly places that goes for thousands of years across every time and place. And He's reconciled sinners like me and like others in this room to Himself through the blood of Christ, in order to honor His Son, in order to give a love gift to His Son of an inheritance. And so, unbeliever, I invite you, and with the authority of God Himself, I command you, run from your sin. Give up on your fighting. Repent and believe in Christ. Embrace the blood of the cross and the life of the empty tomb. And those of us who are believers in this room, it is easy for us to live a Christian life that seems peaceful to us simply because we have made peace with our sins. It is easy to have a church where everybody is somebody and Jesus ignored. But if God has a mission and a project to make Jesus preeminent, then recovering tyrants like you and me, who want to be first place in our own lives, will have initially the exact same reaction that King Herod had when the wise men came to speak to him. Oh, if this Jesus Christ is born, then that means I can't be king. And he's troubled, and all his people with him. If Jesus Christ is preeminent, then I can't be king. If Jesus Christ is preeminent, then you cannot be king or queen over your life. And in order to get you to that place of peace, there has to be a war that is ripping us out of the kingdom we used to live in, the kingdom of darkness and of curse and of satanic power, and bringing us into a kingdom of light, a kingdom of Christ. Why? It's the entire point of Christmas. It's the entire point of everything. So that we can stand resurrected from the dead, forgiven of our sins, at peace with God and with one another, not so that we can boast and rejoice in ourselves, not simply so we can be reunited with all of our family, not simply so that we can live on and on and on and on, but so that we can bow our knee and say, Jesus is Lord. First place, preeminent over everything. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Maybe some of you this morning who are like me, struggling to see the preeminence of Jesus in your life. Maybe some of you, that's true because you've never embraced the gospel. That good news that the angels announced has never become good news for you. You've never come to the point in your life when you've turned away from your old patterns, when you've trusted that Jesus' blood is enough to pay for your sins, and that Jesus' resurrection is enough to give you the power to enter into the kingdom of God. You've never confessed Jesus is Lord. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. If that's the case, you have no peace. It may feel peaceful to you. You may have peace with your sin and peace with Satan, but you don't have any peace with God. I would invite you here in just a few minutes, as we start singing, just to poke the person next to you if you're in the middle of a pew and say, I need to go pray with somebody. Come on down. We'll have men and women here who can pray with you, talk with you. You may not be ready to follow Jesus, but don't leave without talking to somebody. Maybe others of you say, no, I know. I've come to believe in Christ and I am ready to publicly identify myself with Jesus. Maybe others of you who say, my struggle with Jesus' preeminence is in some area of obedience. I need to be baptized, or I need to join my life here with this congregation, or I need to be involved in some kind of service. You come as well. Maybe others of you say, the preeminence of Jesus is being crowded out this morning because I've got something in my life. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's a family problem. Maybe it's some pattern of sin. Come and take somebody by the hand and say, will you just pray with me that I can find peace and freedom from this? Whatever it is that the Spirit is doing in your life, as we stand and sing together, would you come?
Hey, thanks for listening to More to the Point Audio. For other resources, check out our website at www.russellmoore.com.